Praise God. How's everyone doing this morning? Amen. Amen. It's a great morning. I'm feeling good. Went away for a little bit, went home to California. And I'm going to be honest with you. There's a beach with good water. The food was great. The only reason why I came back is because I had bills to pay here. So, no, it is great to be here. It's great to be in the house of the Lord, seeing all you lovely faces. Praise God. Praise God. Let us open in prayer. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for this time to where we can come together as community, my God, and worship you and honor you and give you glory and even raise our petition to you and trusting, my God, that you will answer. We just pray that your presence fills this place, my God. We pray that any heaviness that someone walked in with, my God, is taken away and we walk out lighter than we did when we walked in, my God. We walk out with more of a focus and our focus is upon you, my God. We walk out with the strength to stand in this time. In the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for allowing us to call you Father. Move in this place. Move in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, worship team, for that time of worship. It was great. I love worship, and you guys are amazing, so thank you. So it helps to get me in the mood to be able to speak what God has for you. So I don't plan to be here long today. Give me, 6-7 minutes, is that good? Okay, 8 minutes. We'll do 8 minutes, all right? The message that God has given me to convey to you today, the title of the message is called Just Stand. Just Stand. And the scripture that I'm going to be going over will be found in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 13. But before we get to Ephesians chapter 6, I want you to understand that the book of Ephesians that is written by Paul, the first few chapters in Ephesians, Paul is trying to get the people to understand their position in Christ. That they are no longer part of the world, but they are adopted by God. So they now have the ability to call him Abba Father. And by being able to call him Abba Father, there comes benefits. Because he is not just a distant God, but he is your God and he is your Father. So Paul is trying to get the people to change their mindset, to understand this is now your new position. Now that you are saved, now that you are in Christ, now that you are covered with the blood of Jesus, now that you're part of the body, this is your new position. And then after that, then he goes on to say that now that you are in Christ, now that you are a child of God, now that you are a part of the kingdom, there's a certain way that you have to act. There's a certain way that you have to act with one another. Certain way to walk and a certain way to talk. We can't do the same things that we used to. Now that you're in Christ. Then we get to Ephesians 6, and starting with verse 10, Paul says, finally, meaning after I've told you all these things, after I've got you to understand your position, after I've gotten you to know how to act, finally, this is the part that I really need you to pay attention to. Finally, we've gotten to this part of the message. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord. Don't be strong on your mother. Don't be strong on your father. Don't be strong on your own. But your strength comes from the Lord. Scripture says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And so he's alluding to what was spoken of in 1 Samuel, where scripture said that David strengthened himself. He's saying that when you're weak, you need to strengthen yourself in the Lord. You need to strengthen yourself in the things of God. And to strengthen yourself in the things of God, first you need to understand that you belong to him. You're in your position is now a child of God. Then you need to understand that there are certain things that you have to do. I can't try to strengthen myself in the Lord and go clubbing. I can't try to strengthen myself in the Lord and watch certain shows that I know I shouldn't be watching. If I've got to strengthen myself in the Lord, I need to strengthen myself in the things that God said I need to do. I need to strengthen myself on my knees and pray. I need to strengthen myself in desire to be in his presence. I need to strengthen myself in prayer and fasting. These are the things. These are the disciplines that God is requiring the church to follow. So when we strengthen ourselves in the Lord, we strengthen ourselves in his word. And we apply his word. We believe his word. And we trust in him. And so he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And then he goes on to say, and put on the whole armor of God. Why is he saying to put on the whole armor of God? Because now that you know that you're in Christ, now that you know your position in Christ, now that you know there's a certain way to walk, he's saying you need to strengthen yourself because there's a battle ahead. Before you can put on the armor of God, you need to be strengthened. Because if you're weak, if you're a soldier and they give you armor to put on, but you're weak, you're not strengthened, you're a liability. Regardless of how great the armor is, if you're not strong enough to hold yourself up in that armor, you're a liability. So first he says, you need to strengthen yourself in the Lord. And then when you strengthen yourself in the Lord, understand that there is a battle ahead. Because now that you've positioned yourself in Christ, there is a kingdom of darkness that's going to come against you. And I need you to be aware. I need you to prepare. I need you to put on not just half the armor of God. I don't need you just to take the weapon, which is the word of God, but I need you to clothe yourself in all of the armor of God. And then he says, and the reason for this is that you may be able to stand. That you may be able to stand. Meaning that the enemy is going to come from the left. He's going to come from the right. He's going to come from your family members. He's going to come from your job. He's going to come from your friends. He's going to come from your hurts. He's going to come from your insecurities. He's going to come from any and every way he can. But when we strengthen ourselves in the Lord and we put on the armor of God, when we apply and believe his word, then we will be able to stand. To stand in the Lord. And it says to stand against all the wiles, to stand against all the schemes, to stand against all the tricks of the enemy. The enemy doesn't play fair. Doesn't play fair at all. How many of us feel that there's a certain trauma, a certain situation, certain hurt, or a certain person that we've gotten over, and everything is great, then all of a sudden, we remember what they did. And by us remembering what they did, Satan is now trying to pull you back into how you felt, trying to get you angry again, trying to get you to feel that hurt, and try to get you to walk back into unforgiveness, to where you feel you can't even forgive that person again. And so then now he's able to stick his claws into you because he now has your mind. But God is saying, strengthen yourself in me first, then prepare for war. But understand that in me you can stand. He didn't say run. He didn't say hide. He said to stand. And this is illustrated in 2 Chronicles. Chapter 20. And here in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we have King Jehoshaphat, who was the king of Judah. And there was a certain time where there was this vast army that was coming to Jehoshaphat, and word got to him. And scripture said that he became very afraid. He became very afraid because he understood that the armies of Judah could not stand up against this vast army, not on their own. So what he did was he sought the Lord. He sought to strengthen himself in God. It said he called a fast, not just for him, but for all of Judah. And everyone, they came together and they fasted. And he prayed unto God. He said, aren't you the God who created the heavens? Aren't you the God who delivered us? And he was just talking to God. And he's saying, God, we need you to save us. We need you to work on our behalf. And he was strengthening himself in the Lord. He didn't go to another army. He didn't go to anyone else. He didn't run and hide. But he said, if we're going to prevail, I need to strengthen myself in God. So he went to the Lord. And the Lord, the Spirit, scripture says, the Spirit of God came upon Jehaziel. And then it said in verse 15, and he said, listen, Jehaziel is speaking now. God is speaking through him. And he said, listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but is God's. And then he said, tomorrow, go down against them. He didn't say, tomorrow, just stay home. He said, yes, the battle, I am going to fight this battle, but there's still something that I need you to do. You're not going to just sit around and do nothing. You're not going to just go to the store, but what I need you to do, I need you to go down. I need you to face your fear, and I need you to know that you're doing it with me. He says, go down against them. Behold, they will come. They will come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the valley east of the wilderness of Jerel. But he said, you will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm. The King James says, stand ye still. Hold your position and see the salvation of the Lord. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, and the Lord will be with you. The problem in the church today is that we don't stand. We don't stand. We don't stand for the truth because we don't want to offend anyone. We don't stand for Jesus is the only way. So some people say, well, there's multiple ways to God. When we know that Jesus is the only way. We don't stand for the truth anymore. And we know, and it's a saying that if you don't stand for anything, you fall for everything. We know that.
God is calling us to stand. He's calling for the church to stand. He wants the church to rise up and stand. And the best way we can stand is to fall to our knees and seek him. Ephesians 6 verse 12, and he says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." You don't wrestle against your neighbor. You don't wrestle against your husband or your wife. You don't wrestle against your parents. He's saying that now that you're positioned in God, and now that you understand that there's a certain way to act, the battle that you have to fight is not on this realm. The battle that you have to fight is a spiritual battle. The battle that you have to fight is a battle for your mind. The battle that you have to fight is a battle for your emotions. And that's why you need God, who is Spirit, to strengthen you. And you need the word of God as your weapon. You need the spirit sword. So he said that in order to fight this battle, you need to know where it really is. The battle is not here. Some of us continue to focus on what someone has done to you. He's saying, I just need you to pray for the spirit that is driving that person. I need you to pray because you don't know what that person is going through. I need you to stand for that person. I need you to be an intercessor for that person. Stop thinking of yourself and stand and trust the Lord. Stand in humility. Stand in truth. Stand on the gospel. Stand on the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. The church needs to stand. We need to stop falling in tolerance. We need to stop falling and accepting everything and stand for the truth of the gospel. We need to stand in Jesus, because the battle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against people, but the battle is against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And this is why it's important to also, so Paul tells everyone this, but he also has alluded to the fact that all these principalities, these powers, these rulers of darkness has been placed under the feet of Jesus. And scripture says if we're positioned in Christ, we're positioned in heavenly places with him. So being in Christ, those principalities, those powers, those rulers of darkness, as we are part of the body of Christ, is under our feet as well. And that's why scripture says that God has given us power to tread over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. What he's saying is that when you know who you are in Christ, and when you operate in the ways that God has told you to operate, when you do the things and move the way that God wants you to move, when you know his word and you obey his word and apply his word, when you apply Christian discipline, then the enemy cannot do anything, because you are in Christ. You have strengthened yourself in God, and you have the armor of God on you. So even though there are principalities, even though there are spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, they have to bow down to Jesus. They have to bow down to our Father. They have to bow down to the word of God. And that's why it's imperative for the church to stand, but stand on the foundation. Is Jesus. When we stand on the foundation that is Jesus, that means we believe his word. That's where we start, and we start building upon that. Our life is built upon the word of God. Our mind is changed by the word of God, because we'll no longer be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. I don't know if you hear me today, because the church now is falling because we've allowed the world to come in to the church instead of the church to go out into the world. We've allowed the world to change the church instead of the church going out and changing the world. If you want to change the world, we call for a revival, but we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. God says, I need the church to stand, to strengthen yourself in me, to know who you are and the authority that you have, and trust in God. We need to trust to consecrate, to believe. Verse 13. And he says, so, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. God is calling us to stand in his truth, to believe his word. I saw something that hurt me. We heard what happened at the Olympics, how they were mocking the Last Supper. And what I saw was a person who wasn't even a Christian, identifies as a Muslim, standing up for our God. Where were we at the Olympics? That's just one example. But what God wants us to do is, because when we stand, as I said before, we don't always stand for us, our own selves, but we stand for our children, because the enemy wants our kids. We stand for our families. We stand in hope, which is Christ Jesus. We stand for our friends. We stand for the unsaved. We stand for the world. We are that salt. We are that light. But you can't hide the light. You have to, when we want to light up the world, we put the light high. So then we need to stand. We need to trust God and be obedient to him. Get back into his word and desire to be in his presence. As I said, I'm not going to stand long before you. I guess I stood long before you guys already, and it's getting hot up in here. I'm starting to sweat. But in closing, the one thing I want you to take from this, it's not, even though it's the sermon title is just stand, the one thing I want you to take from this is Jesus. That's it. It's Jesus. You seek Jesus. You desire to be in the presence of Jesus. You follow the word who is Jesus. It's Jesus. And so if we're going to stand, we are going to stand in Jesus, with Jesus, and for Jesus. And so when we stand for Jesus, the world will see how Jesus changed us. The world will see how Jesus delivered us. The world will see how Jesus has called us. And then the world will want to desire, the world will desire that same Jesus. Not the Jesus of our mind, not the Jesus that the media tells us, but the Jesus of the Bible, the Jesus that spread the gospel, the Jesus that is love, but he also requires obedience to the word of God. A lifestyle consecrated to him. Because when we do the things of God, we're automatically fighting against the enemy. When we realize that the moment we're born, we're in battle. It's just, which side are you on? But when you stand in Jesus, you stand in victory. So then now, when you put on the whole armor of God and you fight, you're fighting from a position of victory. That's why he told the army of Judah, just stand and watch the salvation of the Lord. I've already given them over to you. Just stand. So we have to trust him. Consecrate ourselves to him. It's not difficult. We just have to learn to hate our sin, the very sin that we love, and love him more. So let us stand in him. in truth. Let us stand. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for giving us the ability to stand. Because the weight of our sin, the weight of this world was too heavy for us, but yet you took our burden and your yoke is light. We thank you. We thank you for being our foundation, Jesus, that where we can build our life upon you. My God, I just pray that if there's anyone here who's hurting, who's finding it difficult to stand, that you touch them even now, my God, and let them know that they can just come to you. They can strengthen themselves in you, and they will stand with you. Pray that you heal the brokenhearted. Those who are sick right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray, my God, that you heal them from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet, that you touch them and reach them where they're at, and let them know that in you they can stand. For the gates of hell shall never prevail against them. We thank you. We thank you, Jesus, for your word, for you are the word, for your love, for God is love, for your truth, for you are truth. We thank you for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.